Much of life does not endure, but perishes. We do not need to be told this. We see it all the time and all around. What blooms today is gone tomorrow. Even when something seems to be here year after year, usually there is a change associated with it, and change is never easy, even when we think we are prepared for it and looking forward to it. When we feel that we are standing on shifting ground, where do we find our center? We may know that we need to be more centered, or we may be like King David when confronted by the prophet Nathan. "You are the man." What a scene. David is so lost and clueless about what he's done from God's perspective. David needs to find his center, his grounding. How do we become or remain grounded? And all of this is to ask, how can we know the salvation of God? How and where do we find the food that endures for eternal life, of which Jesus speaks in response to the people who are searching for him, as recorded in John's Gospel? John's Gospel gives us the gift of seeing Jesus and seeing our faith the way the first mystics saw Jesus. The way the first mystics saw the faith as it was growing up through their ongoing experience of the risen Christ, knowing the risen Christ, seeing the risen Christ among them. Marcus Borg, one of the Jesus scholars of our time, recently deceased, speaks of his shock as a young college student when he learned that John's gospel one might characterize as being more faith than fact. It was later that Borg realized that John's gospel speaks truth across the centuries, even if Jesus himself did not say those exact words. What? Jesus didn't say all that, word for word? This is shocking, and I don't mean to make light of that. This is shocking for some. But for others, for many of us here, it opens a way to hear these words and know their truth as conveyed to us by the Jesus movement of long ago. Those seeking to share what they were experiencing, knowing something of the food that does not perish, the bread that gives life to the world. In his book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, Borg describes his journey as one that moves beyond belief to relationship. As one, he says of himself, who came to understand the Christian life as being about entering into relationship with that to which the Christian tradition points, which may be spoken of, Borg goes on to say, as God, the risen, living Christ, or the Spirit. And we can say, absolutely, I believe in God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Trinity, Creator, Christ, and Holy Comforter, as we say. But all my belief means little if it doesn't make a difference in my life, and then, by extension, in the lives I touch, the lives you touch, the lives we touch in caring for others and seeking justice, caring for creation. God calls us to do all these things, and God gives us what we need to do these things. God gives us God's very being, God's own self, the bread of life, the food that endures forever, the food that we need for the journey. And I would say that being beyond belief does not mean that we've given up belief, but that we've moved into a deeper place, a place that is not just about what's up here, right, in our head, but also our heart, a place of relationship, a relationship that is the solid ground when life is shifting and changing. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We hear the relationship, whoever comes to me, and then the belief. Often that's how it happens, relationship first, often with other Christians, with a church, with a fellowship of people, and then belief. But however it happens for a person, relationship and belief go together. Relationship with each other, relationship with God, and for a relationship to work, there needs to be, as we all know, right, communication. And it's often said by those who speak and write about these things that God's language is silence. Today, after this service and after our birthday celebration for all the August birthdays, two trained spiritual directors will be leading a forum on ways of being in relationship with God through various prayer practices. One of these directors happens to be me, and the other is Joella Rhodes, who's here. I want to wave, Joella. There she is. Joella is also offering group spiritual direction here at Holy Comforter for those who feel called to that relational way of growing in our knowledge and love of God. If interested, please speak with Joella. In my spiritual journey, as I was first growing as a Christian, and this may seem so basic to say, but I think it's worth saying, the church helped me, the church, people, so much. And as I grew in faith, in my relationship with God, the church continued to help me, and still does, so much. I want, and I believe you all do too, we want everyone to know that sort of grace, the power of God's love that we've known, that I've known through the church in different ways throughout my whole journey as a Christian. This is why we're here. We're here for many reasons, but I think this is the foundation of everything. This is why the church exists, why the Church of the Holy Comforter is here at the corner of Monument and Staples Mill. Not some abstract thing, but here, right here in concrete life, to be here for people, to help people experience this bread of life, the food that does not perish, to help people grow in relationship with God, that grounding, to help each other and everyone find our center, our grounding. And when people come here, we who are already here find our experience of God's incarnation expanded, because in each other we know God. We help each other see God. And so in a way, this is very selfish on my part. I want everyone here to help me know God through them. But as we've been discussing, as I've been discussing the last 2 years that I've been here, and many of you in this church have been discussing probably for decades, Christianity in our time, in our culture, is not about waiting for people to come here anymore. We must engage people where they live, where their lives happen, both in actual locations and in the sense of knowing their lives and seeking to be a church for them. True, we will never be all things to all people, but I have been discerning, praying, and talking with people for 2 years about this matter of engaging people where they live. I've learned a lot from you, and I'm feeling the movement of the Spirit, the nudging of the Spirit to try something new and to see, just see, if it works. Sometimes people ask me what my vision is for this church. It has to do with this, with engaging people where they are and how we might do that now at this time in history. I'm feeling inspired and excited to reach out specifically right now to families with young children, families with children of all ages, but particularly young children, because I know something of their desire to be in community and also the challenges that they face in getting here. I've really been feeling the Spirit around a couple of the things we're going to try. And I'm pretty sure that it is God calling me to lead us in trying this, because as much as I love kids, this is not my strongest area of ministry, right? I'm not picking the thing that I know I can do. So I'm going to need all of you, your help. The first thing is a little bit more in my area because it's for the parents. Through the Church Next program, we have the ability to offer online classes in parenting from the faith perspective, from the Episcopal Church perspective. This class doesn't necessarily take a lot of time, but it has an opportunity to really become something, to give a lot of help and a chance to interact with others online. Ways of thinking about what you parents are already doing, and you may certainly be doing this already, but this class helps us look at it from God's perspective. And it's aimed at providing grounding for parents in the wonderful but demanding ministry of raising children. In the next week, I'll be contacting parents about this class, and I've noticed, and perhaps this was Grant before he left, there are already sign-up sheets in the back about this. There's some people have already signed up, which is incredibly wonderful. But I'll also be contacting parents directly and talking with you about what you can do from home on your own schedule while also interacting with other parents from this church online. And at the end of the class, I'm envisioning that we'll all come together to discuss and to learn and to get to know each other better. The second thing we're going to offer as a church, and this is the thing I'm really going to need a lot of help with, we're going to offer a new service on Sundays starting in October. And the name of this and the description for this service came to me practically in a vision, certainly in a prayerful time of reflection as I was thinking, what would we call this? And this is what came to me. Story time. Story time, a service for children, their families, and friends of all ages. And it's interesting, as I've been sharing this with the vestry and a few other people getting input, there are a number of people over the age of 70 who are really excited about this, which is wonderful. Friends of all ages. But the idea is we're going to tell the stories. It's going to be very, very casual. I mean, this church has already come as you are, I believe, but we're really going to push that with this service. And I and others are going to tell the stories of our faith in words and actions and creatively in ways that children and others can understand, with a liturgy that allows for a lot of creativity. The new service will be either at 4 or 4:30. I'm starting to lean more toward 4:30 right now, and we'll decide this in a couple of weeks, because I'm also thinking, going to need a lot of help with this, that it would be great to offer dinner after this service. So let me know, those of you with kids, if 4 or 4:30 would be better. The service itself will last between 30 and 45 minutes. Trying to make this super family kid friendly. Engaging families with young children in ways that work for them is just one example of how our church can go to where people live, showing them that we get it, we care, we want them to know the love of God that we've known, we want them to have the support and the grounding in that which does not perish, because we all need this grounding. It makes such a difference to experience the bread from heaven that gives life to the world. Let us pray. Creator of unity, body of peace, spirit of community, bind us together around your word and send us out to do your justice, show your mercy, and embody your redeeming love. Glorifying you, Holy Trinity. Amen.